God, I can't. We have to get through this. Say with me, sonship. Say with me this. Where are the true sons in the house? Say it again. Say, where are the true sons in the house? Okay. You know, many times we have this question and we ask, I'm not going to be long this morning. We ask, where are the true fathers? And I see people going around, I want a father, I want a father. My God, every week I get two or three messages in my Facebook, please be my father, please be my spiritual father, please, I would be the best son that there can ever be. And I get all these messages on Facebook, but you know, everybody's asking, where is fathers, where is fathers, where is fathers? But where is a true son? Somebody that can rise up in a church. That, let's say I am not here next week or the week thereafter, or I'm sick or something has happened, and someone can stand up here representing my spirit, representing and carrying my DNA, being able to flow. Or if I stop now and say, dear, take over, and I just walk away, and they can go on with the same message in the same flow without even it flinching. And then operate more in power or signs, gifts, and wonders. Now, that is what is called sonship. You see, church members are great. Sons are better. But faithful and true sons are the best. I'm going to say it again. Church members are great. Sons are better. But faithful and true sons are the best. You have certain sons. Paul, the Apostle Paul, called Timothy a true son in the faith. A true son in the Lord. The word true means genuine. It means to be sincere. It means to be legitimate. It means that this one Timothy carried the DNA of the Apostle Paul. That when Paul sent him to a church or sent him on a mission or said, go there or do this, Timothy would go there carrying the spirit of Paul, carrying Paul's spirit, carrying Paul's DNA, that he would speak, and Paul would be comfortable knowing that when Timothy goes there, that he would be so like-minded that he would say exactly what Paul would say, that he would think exactly how Paul would think, that he would act and behave exactly how Paul would behave. So when Paul would send Timothy, he would have peace of mind, knowing that those people are getting the same as if I'm going there. I don't know if you guys are getting me. The way we are going to advance the kingdom of God is when people understand sonship, receive a spiritual DNA, and they can represent the house even at their workplace, at their business, in the schools. But they can cast out devils like we cast out devils. They can heal the sick like we heal the sick. Come on, they can preach the gospel like we preach the gospel. If I've preached to hundreds of schools, they can go out to hundreds of schools and preach it, because that anointing from me can come upon their lives. Come on, are you guys with me? It's called catching the spirit of a leader. Now there's a few thoughts sitting here that's going in like, this is like one of those churches now again. Whatever, okay? I'm speaking of, and I see people getting upset with me because they're saying, that's not me. I'm not speaking about you. I'm speaking about the others. Okay? So this is how you grow the church. When somebody catches the spirit and the vision of a house. You see, a father rarely realizes his vision. It's the sons that realizes the vision of a father. It's the sons that actually live out and see the vision of a father. Right throughout scripture, Abraham never saw the vision come to pass. Moses never saw the vision come to pass. Are you guys with me? Paul never fully saw the vision coming to pass. It's the sons that see the realization of the vision coming to pass. When we receive that spirit of like, I carry what this church carries. This church, listen to me. This is a church of the supernatural. Just give us a little bit of time. We are 2 months old. But you'll see what will happen in the next 6 months. From December, January to July. You'll see what will happen in the next 6 months. I pray that everybody that's under the sound of my voice, that you will be so imparted to, that you'll be so activated, that you'll be so anointed, that you don't have to phone Pastor Leon to do something. But if anything happens in a store, in a mall, or a house, or a business, and you all of a sudden you walk into a business meeting and somebody starts scratching themselves and they say, ah, it's hot in here. It's very hot in here. And you're sitting there and you're just sitting with your legs crossed, relax knowing I've got the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon my life. And you're sitting there and somebody in your classroom might feel uncomfortable, might feel like, or they're beginning to manifest, and we've had this over and over and over, and you're sitting there and you know that by one word you can cast out that devil. You know that by the laying on of hands you can cast that devil, because you carry the anointing, the tangible, transferable substance of heaven upon your life. May you receive it. Listen, you can sit. Listen. Carrying the vision, carrying the spirit of a house, you'll have church members, they're sitting pews full, but nothing is happening. But then you have sons who catch the spirit. You know, when I look at my daughter, and I shared this last time as well, she would want to do everything that we are doing as parents. She would want to, you know, if I shave, she wants me to shave her. If I spray cologne, she wants me to spray her with cologne. But they want to do everything that their father does. It's in them. But rebellion comes in. And that's where many people got hurt, even sitting in this place. Rebellion came in towards your parents. And then we refuse to be like them. And then we end up just like them, but on the bad side. Because there's a judgment that's been made. Are you guys with me? But it's an inherent quality for a son to be like his, want to be like his father. It comes from Jesus himself. Even Jesus says, everything I do, I first look at the father and see what he does, then I do it. The son looks at the father and see what he does, then he does it. And then he also says, listen, have I been with you for so long? Have you seen me for so long, and you have not seen the Father? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. When a son or a daughter is sent out from a church, when a devil sees me, they do not see me. They see my spiritual father, my oversight, those who I've submitted to as a son in the Lord, those who are over my soul. The devil sees that. I was once in a meeting in Krugersdorp, and the place was really satanic. I mean, it was really satanic. There was a coven that came into the meeting, and I was standing there and I thought, okay, we had a few manifestations and huge ones. The one guy was about this big, and he tried to hit me. But it was pure satanic. And then there was another guy who was recording us, and someone like this mic here, but under his shirt. And I remember sitting there and I thought, how am I going to do this? And I got on the pulpit like this, and these words came to me. Where is the God of my father, Mark Bredenkamp? And I said it again. Where is the God of my father, Mark Bredenkamp? And I said it again, because I know that's his area of specialty. I said, where is the God of my father, Mark Bredenkamp? And when I said it a third time, that atmosphere shifted and changed, and all of a sudden you begin to hear demons screaming out. I walked to the back, and we saw deliverances. There was power in that place. Why? Because now the power of the one I submitted to came into that place. That is the power of submission. Sub, you take your mission and you place it sub, you place it under someone. Many people want their own mission out there, never getting anywhere, going anywhere. So let me start with the notes here. Listen, Philippians, let's go to your notes there. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 19. And I'm not going to go through all the notes. I'm just going to go through the important points. And you have these notes to take home with you. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 19 to 24. But Paul is saying, he's writing this here, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. Say this with me. Say, for I have no one like-minded. Say it again. Say, for I have no one like-minded. Paul had no one like-minded. Not one person. And listen, Paul had, you'll see in the book of Romans, he spoke to 26 people by name. He called them name. But we read that he says in the scripture, Paul puts it out for everybody to see. I have no one like-minded. No one that'll think the way I think, do the way I do, act and behave the way I act and behave, carrying my spirit. I have no one but Timothy. Only one person. What a sad case of affairs. Come on, are you guys with me? May it not be so. May there be people in this place that are one-minded, like-minded. May there be people in this place that receive a double portion of what I have even much more than, and even those who I submit under. If you fall, listen here, if you submit into this church and you align yourself, you do not only submit under me, you submit under even those that I submit under. And I do not submit under flakies. Come on, you guys with me. No one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Listen to this verse, verse 21. For all, everyone, say all. That means Titus. That means whoever there was. Mark, Titus, John, say with me, all seek their own and not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Paul is saying everybody else is seeking the things of their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know Timothy's proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall come shortly. Now, I'm not going to go through all the writing there, but listen. Paul saw Timothy as a true, sincere, genuine. In fact, it says, loyal, true, sincere, genuine, legitimate son in the Lord, in the faith. Not only a son, but a true son. Are you guys with me? Go there to point number one. It says, Timothy was like-minded to Paul. Not seeking his own. We read that scripture just now. He was like-minded to Paul, not seeking his own. Next page there. Listen here. We read there at the top. It says this, that Paul was concerned about the church at Philippi and wanted to send someone to convey his concern and get the facts. There was certainly, I believe it was at this point where Paul was actually in prison. And he wanted to send someone. And Paul was concerned about the church at Philippi and wanted to send someone to convey his concern and get the facts. There were certainly hundreds of Christians in Rome. Paul greets even 26 of them by name in Romans 16. Yet not one of them was available to make the trip. All seek their own, not the things which are of Christ. Can everybody say with me, availability? That is one of the keys to be used by God. Availability is one of the keys to be saying, God can use me. Listen, if I call Tian and I say, Tian, it's 2 o'clock the morning or so, and I say, listen, you know, can you come with me? We need to go do this. Oh, no, I'm working tomorrow. Okay, that's fine, bye. Okay, then I phone Zane. And, I'm working tomorrow. And I phone Lawrence, and Lawrence takes the call and he says, yes, I'm there immediately. What do you want? What do you need? You know, I'm coming. Who's God going to use? Obviously him. It's availability. Many people, even people around me, I can see who is available and who is not. I can see who has the things, who seeks their own and who does not. And I'm just being flat out real. Are you guys with me? Even just with my team, I can know and I can see who seeks their own and who seeks the things of Christ. You know, we either live, I wrote there in Warren Wiersbe, this is a commentator, he says this, he says, in a very real sense, all of us live either in Philippians 1:21 or Philippians 2:21. Philippians 1:21 says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Philippians 2:21 says, all seek their own and not the things of Christ. Are you guys with me? So we either live our lives in the fact that to live is Christ and to die is gain, or all seek their own and not the things of Christ. There's no in between. I either die completely to myself and say, listen here, I am set out for this cause. I am fully set out for this cause. Doesn't matter hell or high water, I'm going to go through and make this. I know it's not a nice message because it's an uncomfortable message. Amen. Say with me, teaching. This morning we teach. Are you guys with me? Listen, preaching edifies. Teaching equips. I'm going to say it again. Preaching edifies. It stirs, which we do in the evening. But teaching equips and trains. Many people don't receive equipping or training, so they're not getting taught. They're not receiving, they are not being taught. That's why I know it's not the greatest revival meetings, but I hope you guys have patience on us. Not everybody is into the evening service again also. So, you know, there's a one for all. And you guys that were in the back actually need to read the first page and a half. Okay? So, because this is also a rebuke message for my team as much as what it is for the church. Not now, afterwards, so that you can listen to what I'm saying now. Too much loyalty is not good. Okay? Number two, say with me. Say with me. Timothy had excellent training. Oh, you don't have to say it with me. Don't worry. Just listen to this. Timothy had excellent training and a good report. Say this with me. Say a good report. Timothy had excellent training and a good report. Philippians 2, the Apostle Paul saying, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Listen, what Paul did, I'm not going to go read all of them, you can just listen to me. What Paul did is he got Timothy saved. Sorry, he didn't even get Timothy saved. Timothy got saved, kind of like was brought up a Christian because his mother was a Jewish believer and so on. And then he was in the faith, strong in the faith, and even his grandmother. And then he was put in, and Paul got to Timothy and said, listen, here, stay by this church and serve. And Paul left him. And then after a few years, Paul came back and he saw the fruits in Timothy's life. And he saw, listen here, but wait, Timothy is beginning to plant home cells. Timothy is serving everywhere in the church. The leaders are saying, Timothy, a good report of Timothy. Leaders, when Paul asked the leaders, listen here, who is somebody? Because he was looking for somebody to take with him. To like John Mark abandoned him at some point of time, and Timothy actually replaced John Mark. With John Mark abandoned Paul, the Apostle Paul came back now again. He said, listen here, I'm looking for somebody that is faithful. Who is serving? And they said, no, listen here, there's this guy, Timothy. He's opening up the church. He's cleaning the floors. He's packing the chairs. He's cleaning the church. He's serving. He's planting cells. He's reaching out. He's ministering. He's evangelizing. He's being humble. He's catching people. He's standing by the door, whatever. But he's serving. He's doing things. And a good report was given over to the Apostle Paul about Timothy. Are you guys with me? Because he had a good report and he had good training, he had the ability to travel with Paul. Now listen, there's another story. I wrote it there, and it's written in an article. It's a true story about a nightclub owner, and he was a musician. He was a music artist, and he got saved radically. He was a very well-known artist, and he came to the pastor and he said, listen, what am I to do? What can I do now? I'm on fire for God. And the pastor said, listen, man, just stay in church, serve, and work on your family. Just pray for your family, for them to get saved. And the man's like, yeah, that'll be great. I need my family to get saved. And he says, but do you know who I am? And the pastor says, no, who are you? He says, I'm a well-known singer. I have crowds. I have influence. I want to do something now for God. And the pastor said, listen here, don't do it now. If your roots don't go deep, if your branches go wider than what your roots go deeper, you're going to be in trouble. And he says, just stay. Otherwise, and then later on, God will bring your ministry and it will happen. And the man didn't listen to him, went out. And this is a true story. And I'll share of another one as well just now. And the man went out and he started his ministry, got crowds, and within 1 year his ministry fell apart. He lost his marriage and he lost his ministry simply because of he didn't want to serve and wait. Are you guys with me? How many of you know that band? There's a music band like Creed. Some like only two people. My God. Okay. Okay, I actually got saved on the guy's lyrics and before he was saved. But anyway, he got saved, a well-known musician. The guy got radically saved. And he immediately went ahead and did a Christian album. Immediately go out, wanted to minister to people. But he didn't deal with all the things of his past. And within 1 year from his salvation, he fell again into bad sin, and he wrecked his ministry and he wrecked everything. And I think it's now about 8 years later, slowly is he healing and coming back, and he's just got some orphanage out somewhere, and that's about it. Are you guys with me? So if our roots, if our branches is wider than our roots are deeper, something is wrong. So that's what the Apostle Paul did with Timothy. He said, listen, you let your roots go deeper. So if you turn your page there, I wrote there a quote at the bottom. I said, Timothy was like-minded. He received excellent training, and this set him up for a great reward. A great reward. Point number three, I don't want to be long this morning. I want to get to, because I want to just maybe pray for one or two of you. Point number three, Timothy received a great reward. This is the third thing that happened. He became Paul's, say with me, successor. Say with me again, say successor. Listen, the word like-minded in the Greek there, it means it is sopsikon, something like that. I wrote it there, it's in your notes. It's sopsikon. It literally means to be one equal soul, one equal spirit, which means that Timothy, as a son to the Apostle Paul, was like one in spirit, one in soul. Timothy can be in one city and the Apostle Paul can be in another city, and they can think the same thing. They can hear the same thing. when they pick up the phone and they phone one another, they might even say the same verse. They were one spirit. They were one soul. They were together, knitted together in unity, in love. That is where the power of God begins to pour out. Let's say you have 10 of those guys in this church like that. We'll take that city. We'll take the city. If you have 10 people who are like sons, where they are knitted to you in heart and in spirit, and there's no betrayal, and wherever they go, they carry your DNA. Wherever they go, they carry your spirit. If you have 10 of those, we'll take Centurion. Jesus had 12 and he took the world. Come on, are you guys with? If you have, I pray for importation. This morning I pray, as the apostle, as most, God said to Moses, Moses, take off the spirit that is on you and place it upon the 70 elders, and this, and this, that, and let them also do the same as you do, which means that Moses' spirit was placed upon them. Importation is when a part of my spirit is placed into you. I pray this today, this morning and tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter number 1, verse number 16, I have longed to come to you, to impart to you a spiritual gift. Right now, I pray, Father, I impart to them a spiritual gift. I impart to them a portion of what you have given to me, that even as they leave this place, that they will see results. Even as we come back tonight and we speak about dimensions and measures and levels of the anointing of the river and the flood and the well, I pray that they'll be saturated, that they'll walk out of this place imparted, carrying the DNA of heaven, carrying the DNA of the mission and the vision that you've given to this house. May not one person in this place lack one good thing, in Jesus' mighty name. Signs, seven signs of a true son. Seven signs of a true son. Now, how many of you know that when I say a son, I mean a daughter as well? How many know we are sons and daughters of the Most High God? Amen. I hope you believe it. I hope you know it. If you're not, you can get saved. Amen. But this morning, you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. I want to give seven signs of a true son. And I pray that even as I said earlier, I feel it very strong, but tonight it's going to be very strong. Every service is different, guys. Are you guys okay? Are you guys with me? Every service is different. I'm very chilled this morning. I'm just talking. If I'm going to be shouting and spitting and screaming and running, we're going to lose. I'll have you here, and that's about it, you know. Now I'm looking at you. And then I'm going to lose Monica, and because they're elderly people, and because we're just going to run around, and are you going to stay? So that's why we change the services. Is that okay? And say with me, teaching. Teaching is not preaching. Teaching is to equip. Preaching is to edify. Say with me, seven signs. Say with me, a true son. May there be impartation this morning and tonight, like I said. A portion of what God has given to me, to this church, that as you leave this place, that you will not feel like an orphan, that you will not feel like a rejected, that you will not feel like you don't belong anywhere, but that you will know that this is your household of faith. Are you guys with me? We might have just started right now, but I have not started right now. I know where we're going. God has spoken to me about so many people here. As I, you know, I can just walk through, and I can, as my heart is connected already with people here, and it's like, you know, God is going to be beginning to raise up. Just watch over the next 6 months. I can even give you the amount that we will be. I will give that maybe next week. When I stood here and I prophesied over somebody's son and said, whose son is Gerard? And the person was standing here. I forced myself to see his son's name. No, Lord Jesus. Can we just get some, can we become real? Do you know the power of Christ inside of you? That is what you and I can do. We have reduced ourselves to natural when we are supernatural. Don't for 1 second think I'm standing here and God says, Gerard. No. I confuse all of you, because ministers out there has raised the level and the standards to a degree that you think you cannot do it. But you can do it. For if the Spirit of God knows all things about God, and the spirit of a man knows all things about man, Listen, so I won't share that. I won't go into that. But when I prophesy over someone like that, I can see writing sometimes. Then I know it's God. But why didn't I say to him, your son is Gerard? Because it was a lower impression. You see, our spirits are not trained anymore. I'm going to say it again. Our spirits are not trained and disciplined. There's a thing called stamina in the realm of the spirit, which means that you can go in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You can pray in the spirit. You can cast out devils. You can see in the realm of the spirit. You have a spiritual stamina where not after one meeting you are so tired that you cannot do anything, but you have a spiritual stamina. Come on, are you guys with me? The Apostle Paul says, be immovable. Be stable and immovable. Have spiritual stamina. Have spiritual strength. Spiritual energy. The anointing is on the inside of you. I'll explain it tonight. But the way that anointing has been worked out is through energeia, which is the energy from heaven, which is being stirred up by you and I. We can stir it up like a battery. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. That energy causes power to go out and causes the anointing to be released out of your life. That means that if you're sitting under this anointing, I expect you to go out and see somebody's name. I expect you to go out and say, you're standing in front of somebody and you're just so convinced that yesterday something happened with their children. And you say, listen, I just want to ask, did something happen to your child yesterday? Yes. And then all of a sudden you feel like it's a boy and you say, is that child a boy? And they say, yes, how did you know? And you hear like eight and they, is this age eight? And then the person is just like, you know, how can I get this? You don't even have to preach to them. They just ask you, how can I get this? What do you have? Give me what do you have, what you have. May the supernatural be imparted to you. The true, real supernatural, not fake. There's too many fake prophecies. May true prophecies, may true supernatural be imparted to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm saying it again, ECC, get ready to take over 2017. For God has given Centurion to you. Zadros Kitenelandi Zidia Sondo. I want to prophesy over one or two people, but let's get to the signs. Seven signs. First sign, a son and a daughter represents his father. John 14 verse 19, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? So when a son and a daughter goes out, when they are out in the business or wherever, people will know and see this person is from ECC. They're driving an expensive car, they must be from ECC. They can prophesy, they must be from ECC. They can cast out devils, they must be from that church that is in Centurion, because that's the only place where that is happening. Point number two, a son and a daughter is forever. Say with me, forever. When you give birth to a son and a daughter in real life, let's say you got your daughter, she cannot undaughter you, she's your daughter. So you are forever a son. We must catch this because, you know, let me just, John 8 verse 38, he says, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. And then I can get into eternal security because too many people think, I'm not speaking of once saved, always saved, not at all. There is no such thing as once saved, always saved. People can apostate. But we think if we commit a sin now, we're not going to heaven. Is your sin so powerful to remove Christ from the cross? Are you guys with me? Your sons and daughters believe in their fathers and trust them for everything. Jesus says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom. And then he goes on, he says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But he trusted in his heavenly Father. You know what is very powerful? At the end of Jesus' life, he used these words. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The very last words. Now you must understand, as Jesus was 100% man, he was also 100% God. Jesus had all temptations that we had. Are you guys with me? He was 100% man and he was 100% God. In fact, the Bible says that he emptied himself of God. So every miracle he did it in his man humanity. Jesus emptied himself of God, which means that when he walked on the water, he walked on the water as humanity. When he healed the sick, he healed the sick in his humanity. So what is wrong with you and I? When Jesus said, "You shall do greater works than that which I have done." And the Bible says that he did so many miracles that all the books in the world cannot even contain the miracles that Jesus Christ did in 3 years. And he said, "We shall do greater things than him." Ah, I love the God I serve. Come on, are you guys with me? He is an empowering God that is set. Trust him for everything. How is it that Jesus, at the end of his life, he trusts God so much. He said, "Father, I've taken all the sin. I'm going to hell. But I commit my spirit into your hands." He trusted him at the very last little bit. It's like Abram and Isaac. Isaac was on the mountaintop and Abram picked up the knife. Abram was about 90 years old, much older than that. And Isaac was on the altar. And Isaac could have taken him out very quickly, but yet he submitted and trusted it that his father is hearing from God. Are you guys with me? There's one thing that I've learned. I can have an angel talk to me. I can have great prophets talk to me. But when I hear the voice of my father, my spiritual father, you can just pick up the phone and just say hello or just speak to me and it feels like things are aligned correctly. Because I have cultivated that relationship with him. I was birthed through him, but it took from me a lot to make sure that I am right with him and he's my... So now it's like I put my flesh under submission, which every person in this place knows that my spiritual father is Pastor Mark Brennenkamp. I do that to put my flesh under submission, that if I want to rebel, I cannot. Because there's one voice that can phone me that I will tremble. Only one, are you guys with me? That I will tremble for, and that is his voice. That's why, anyway, point number four. A son honors his father. Malachi 1 verse 6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? You guys all know this honor can be in our words. It can be in our actions. It can be in our financial or material things. I just want to read you what I wrote here. I said, don't expect honor from servants or employees. You can only expect lip service and fake smiles from employees. But you can expect honor from a real son. Somebody that receives nothing from you. Let's say I don't give anything to Chris. I don't give him 20,000 rand a month. I don't give nothing to him. But after like 5 years, after I offend him and doesn't matter what I do, he still serves me and he still puts his... That speaks of true loyalty. It's loyalty has now been tested. Are you guys with me? Then I've had other people, I'll pay them. I take the payment away, gone. Or we give them something. I have people in my house, I'll pull them to my house. I'm not used to your phone. I'll pull somebody into my house, I'll give them money. And then I take the money away, gone. Why? Because there was a motive. It's a hireling. Amen. So a mega church pastor once said, I've had many bad experiences by appointing pastors from other churches and Bible schools. Now I only have my own spiritual sons and daughters working with me in the ministry. That is the key. That is the way it should be. Your sons and your daughters will bring honor to their father, apart from a few prodigal sons that obviously will go away and come back. You know, I've always honored fathers in my life. I've always honored those who have imparted, those who are over me in the Lord. Just this week, I honored somebody and it was like, it hurt my heart. It was like, and I clicked that send button and it went through. But the honor is there. But that I know that if my spiritual father has to pick, if anybody has to come to him and say, "Yo, you know, Leon and his church is messing up." Eh? And then he's like, "Yeah, okay, but, you know, this is what Leon does for me every month. More than what you've done your whole life. He does this every month for me. Why must I even believe you?" So whenever I come up in his thoughts, this is stuff that me and my team talk about. When I come up in his thoughts, I want it to be good thoughts. because there's a thing called the blessing of a father and a curse of a father. I don't want my father to curse me. I don't want my name to come up and he's just like, oh, yes. You know, that guy there, he's just full of rebellion and da-da-da-da-da-da. No. I want my name to come up by him and he's like, doesn't matter what people say, he knows that I have honored him as a son all the time, all the time, all the time. Even, and I, like I'll say again, a spiritual father is not a spiritual father unless they push you away. Okay? Point number five, sons obey. Say with me, obey. Hey, this thing is a bad thing. Obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Okay, next page there. I wrote there, I said, lots of rebellious people love to call themselves sons and daughters. True sons obey their fathers. I said, I get so many Facebook inboxes of people asking, please be my father. Time will tell. Do not try to exert authority over people who are not your true sons or daughters in the ministry. They will only disobey you because they are not your true sons and daughters. Your real sons and daughters will obey you. I'll speak now about the levels of sons and daughters so that people don't get confused, okay? Number six, sons and daughters do what they say, what they see their fathers do. Jesus said these words. He says, the son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the father do. For whatever he does, the son also does in like manner. So whatever the son sees the father do, he does it. Are you guys with me? A true son, I wrote there, is looking out for what his father does, just as Jesus did. He healed only those he saw his father healing and preached only those he saw his father preaching. We are following the example where even when it doesn't seem to make sense, just as Jesus did when he only healed one man out of a whole multitude at the pool of Bethesda. It's like going to a hospital only healing one person. It may not seem to make sense. But Jesus was content in only doing what he saw his father do. So many people want these big ministries, big churches, and God has given them their family, and all God wants is for them to take care of their family. We were preaching in this church once, this poor pastor, I really feel sorry, this is not to belittle, I really feel sorry for this man. He has this church, and there was like 10 or 15 people. We go there, we have meetings Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like we do have many churches. And the meetings grow to about 150, 100, around there, 104, 150. And I go back the next year, and it's down back again to 15 people. I said to the pastor, I said, what happened? And he says, Leon, I don't know. You know, can you please baptize the people of the Holy Spirit? I'm like, what, haven't you done it? He says, no, I can't do it, you know. And I'm like, anyway, so I said to him, so, you know, I see the man and he doesn't want to even do announcements. He gives everything to me to do. Do you guys remember that? And I said, I sat down with him and I said, you know, Pastor, this. I said, with all due respect, I said, why don't you just go back into business? You know, in business, you were making 200,000 rand a month. You're sitting with a church with 10 people. You cannot, there's nothing happening. There's no anointing, there's no finances, no God's provision isn't coming in. Something seriously is wrong. I said, go back, look after your family, the four daughters that you have or whatever. Raise them up as women of God and you'll be a better pastor than what you are right now. And God will reward you greater because you'll raise up four women of God that can shake nations. But sometimes we want to be number one when we are supposed to be number two or number 17. Be the best number 10 you can be, or the best number 5 you can be. It's not about that. God doesn't look at those things. That's graces. With me standing here on a stage, it's a grace. It's nothing that I've worked for, that I've learned for, that I've studied for, or I prayed for. It's nothing. It cannot. It's a grace that comes. But if we can just be, and I'm not even number one, I'm number what? I don't know, 100 or something. I don't know. But be the best one you can be. And God will reward you accordingly. Come on, are you guys with me? You know, so that's why, you know, we do what we see our fathers do. Point number 7, I'll close over this. Sons carry the words of their fathers. A sign of a true son is that he carries the words of his father. He hears the words of his father often and he repeats them. Sometimes in conversation, sometimes in preaching. People often ask me, how do you know all these things? Where did you get this wisdom from? But I simply repeating the words of my father. You know, I was in a church ministry. And I said this to some of you, but some of you don't know about this. And this couple came, I'm preaching. Couple comes up to me and they say, you know, in 1994, you prophesied over us this, and we just want to come and give glory to God. It came to pass and da-da-da-da-da. I said to them, listen, I'm 1994, I wasn't even a Christian. I wasn't even saved. I was a young kid. They said, no, it was you. I said, no, it wasn't me. I thought, no, maybe it was my angel or something. I don't know. I'm trying to figure this thing out. And they said to me, aren't you Mark Brennenkamp? I said, no, that's my father. I said, oh, are you his son? Because you guys look like one. I said, no, I'm a spiritual son. And then they were confused, you know. And because they literally confused. They were sit, and it wasn't a joke. This is a couple. They have children. They were fully convinced I was Mark Bredenkamp. So, you know, say with me, catching the spirit. Listen, there are different levels of sonship just to discourage. Like I said, church members are great. Sons are better. Faithful and true sons are best. When I say son, I speak of a daughter as well. It's not a must that every person must be a son and a daughter. But all I'm saying is if you become a son or a daughter, you go further with God. Abram went up with Isaac and some young men. And then he came to a place and he said to the young men, stay here for me and my son. Not me and my church member. Not me and my young men. Me and my son will go further. And we will go worship God and get the promise, and we will come back to you. Which means that those, listen, those who were not received the spirit of sonship, they stayed at a certain level. They were saved, they were great, they were traveling, they were doing the ministry, but they could only go a certain height. Come on, are you guys with me? They could not go to the top of the mountaintop. And this is what happens when we receive the spirit of, if I can say it like that, the DNA of the house. Everybody will know. Listen, my team can go somewhere and people will say, if Stefan has to go preach somewhere or Chris, they'll know. Other churches will know. They'll be like, that's a guy is from Leon, you know. That guy is from there because they carry my spirit. Amen. May through this series and even tonight, today and tonight, may there be importation in Jesus' mighty name.